Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The distinguished French painter Pierre-Auguste Renoir was afflicted with arthritis that gradually crippled his hands. Little by little, those hands became gnarled and twisted. It became increasingly painful for him to just hold a brush. Now, anyone who has been strong and then has had pain cripple him can relate to what he went through. But his pain didn't go away with a few aspirin. Eventually, just holding a brush was a painful challenge. At last, the arthritis put him in a wheelchair, and the easel had to be lowered to him to even reach it. On a certain occasion, Henri Matisse, his artist friend, visited him. He watched as he moved the brush with deft exactness, knowing that every stroke cost in the currency of pain. Matisse asked the question that you probably would have put to the great old man. Why do you paint when it hurts you so much? The pain passes, he replied, but the beauty remains. Renoir, Matisse, and their contemporaries are gone, and also the pain that racked his body. But the beauty of his work remains to this day. Pain is a strange thing. By and large, our generation expects deliverance from it. Between the doctors and God's help, we are quite certain that we ought to escape it. We prefer dentists who will not hurt us. We ask the doctor, is this going to hurt? I've never met Phil Yancey, but I've been blessed by his straightforward, honest appraisals of life. Much of what he says cuts across the grain of what folks think should be said, but are really thinking themselves. In his book, Where is God When It Hurts?, Yancey says, Christians don't really know how to interpret pain. If you pinned them against the wall or in a dark, secret moment, many Christians would probably concede that pain was God's mistake. He really should have worked harder and invented a better way of alerting us to the world's dangers, end quote. Almost everyone who is within the vicious grasp of pain sees little, if any, redeeming value at the time. We go through a cycle of anger because God has allowed something, then guilt, thinking that we've done something for which we are being punished, and then finally, groping and searching for deliverance, then perhaps solitude, as we experience God can meet us when we really hurt. In case you are wondering, yes, I have known pain, but I have never been through the Gethsemane which has racked the body as some have seen day after day, week after week, month after month. But I've walked through many dark valleys with scores of people. I've observed that it's not completely predictable as to how anyone will respond in a given situation. Some who do not appear to be terribly strong do amazingly well spiritually when they're confronted with pain. But others, whom I would think could cope quite well, become bitter and cynical. I've searched for answers which would help you struggle with this. And at times, the neat little formula just doesn't hold up. But I've discovered a common thread or element which individuals who have coped well with pain from a Christian perspective have. I've learned that people who cope take the statements of Scripture at face value. They lean upon the presence of Christ to meet them. He said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we may say, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what men shall do unto me." He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Wherever you are, friend, no matter what you are going through, God can meet you at the point of that need, and He will walk with you through your darkest night. Trust Him.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.